RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence. It's an inside look and the scientific facts in and around the world of medical cannabis. Now, here is your host, Ian Beckles.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to the second installation of the Cannabis Podcast. We had some good feedback on the first one, and we're going to continue forward and hopefully educate you guys on legal cannabis in this area and around the country as well. I've always said I'm not an expert, although I'm not scared to smoke it or ingest it other ways lately. But what I'm going to do is bring in experts in the field, and that's what I did today. Trulieve is our title sponsor, and we have a wonderful representative here, Victoria Walker from Trulieve. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain.
Yeah,
can't
complain.
No, well, there's no reason to. And as far as Trulieve, that's where you go get your products. That's where I get my products. There's a lot of different places you can go, but I've literally, since I've gotten my card, Trulieve is the only place that I go, so I don't know any better or any different. But you also need to find out how you get your card, and that's some other things we're going to answer throughout this show. And Tetra Health Centers is somewhere where they have the best doctors, they have the most knowledge, and just a good place to get started. So we're all about knowledge, so we brought in the owner, Tracy Lee Young. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you both. We're going to talk about a lot of different things today. Now, we brought you in today. You had another representative last week, Tracy Lee. Now, this is your baby that you started?
This is my baby.
Now, where did this start? When did this company all start?
Tetra started in California, April of 2015, and it was really born out of a need. The father of my 8 children was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer, and we were researching our options.
And may I ask, is he okay now?
He was diagnosed early 2014 and chose to go the cannabis route, and he's lived many years being able to ride his bike, ski, snowboard, do all these things, and March of this year, he was re-diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Wow. So although the cannabis removed the throat cancer, and he was actually scanned last November as clean in his throat, again, this year it's a new challenge, but he's back on his, cannabis routine and just high doses, and we're optimistic.
Now, you say cannabis removed. Now, you really believe that cannabis removed the cancer?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. All I know is my own experience.
Yeah.
And if you're diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer and then you're scanned over the course of several years and the scans come back clean with no cancer in that area, I absolutely believe it.
Well, I mean, normally I'd be skeptical, but we brought up a name, Joe Redner, earlier, and I'm pretty good friends with Joe Redner and saw him go through his stages of quite a few cancers. And he says the same thing, like it removed cancer and it pretty much cured him. So I believe that hopefully this turns out well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm hopeful. And, it's exciting. He's, rather than having the 6 months they gave him to live, he still had years with his children.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. Now, Victoria, Trulieve, when was Trulieve's launch in the Bay Area?
In the Bay Area, we opened up about 2 years ago. Our first store was Clearwater.
Is it that long ago?
It's
2 years already?
Yes. Yeah, it has been.
Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. It's going by real fast. And it seems like in 2 years, there's been a whole lot of progress, but it just seems like the knowledge of people is regressing almost. Like people know less about what's happening with cannabis than they did 2 years ago, it seems like.
Well, I think that's because we've sort of stopped talking about it as a general public. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I haven't. And the doctor's offices involved haven't. But in the beginning, when it was being legalized, everybody talked about it. And then it became legalized and nobody really talks about it anymore. Mm-hmm. The news will come out and cover stores opening and things like that. But I think where we're missing the boat is the patients that are on it aren't able to really have an outlet to talk about it. Like she was just explaining her experience. Nobody's talking about that. It's almost like they're keeping it. They might talk to their friends about it,
sure,
but they're sort of keeping it to themselves. And I think that's why we feel like maybe it's the steam isn't as strong, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because being involved with cannabis to a certain extent, and my story is I didn't try cannabis until I was 35. Mm-hmm. So I played in the league till I was about 32. So I think the fear of drug tests and being caught and all that, there was never a point where I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. I just thought it would be a bad idea, okay? Mm-hmm. And you obviously don't want to push young kids to just do it recreationally. That's not what we're trying to get done. Now, there's been tests and studies since that have proven that cannabis is actually beneficial to NFL players before and after and during their playing days. Mm-hmm. So I think within the next 3-4 years, I think they're going to lift that to where, you're telling NFL players they can't take a plant, but they're putting these opioids in their stomach and they're eating and they're boring a hole in their stomach with anti-inflammatories, opioids, and all those things like that. Now, Tracy Lee, when you're talking about, you know, when people go to doctors, and this is the part why I don't think anybody has the answer, and I don't really have the answer. What is a criteria? Is there a list of criteria? Because people ask me, hey, you know, I have anxiety, can I get my card? Or I have insomnia, can I get my card? Is there a criteria of what people need to have ailment-wise for them to get their card?
Yes, the list has a state of conditions that are allowable. But the beautiful part about that list of conditions is something that's kind of known as the gray area. So anything that is as debilitating or the same class or kind as one of those, which opens up the list tremendously. Mm-hmm. And although it's not never ending, pretty much any condition that affects your life to a point where you cannot function properly, will qualify you.
No doubt. And I think that the perception and the stigma that we've talked about of marijuana is starting to, it's being lifted a little bit. There's no doubt. I think people now are realizing that it is medicine, and where it used to be like, oh, it's just a recreational thing people do in their basement when they're listening to Def Leppard. I think that's what everybody thought it was for a long time. But, you know, you guys can both speak of the type of patient that there is, because I was even shocked because when I go to True Leave, I sit there in a waiting room, which is not for very long, by the way. I mean, the process is really good. You sit in there in a waiting room and I kind of sit and watch the people that come in. And for most part, I find it to be people look like veterans. People are walking in with a limp, you know, and I don't see that young kid just looking to get stoned. And I think people thought that that's what it might be. Speak to what type of patient you normally see.
Yeah, on average, our patients are well over 50. So, I mean, and I think the doctors see the exact same thing. So they have very debilitating conditions, and not only a debilitating condition, usually multiple mm-hmm. conditions. So they qualify on multiple levels. They've tried so many other medications. Their life is not any better for it. Usually it's worse. Mm-hmm. Whether they're wheelchair, we have an employee actually now. She's younger, but she had fibromyalgia to the point where she was wheelchair bound, and she became a patient. And through becoming a patient, she was able to get out of the wheelchair, and now she works for us.
Isn't that crazy?
So she can work. I mean, and she was, I think she's in her 20s. I mean, very, very young to have that. And so she's back to work. She's living a normal, mm-hmm. capable life, has an apartment. And it's just, it's really exciting to see, but I think if you sit in the lobby of a dispensary, you'll really, your perceptions will change. And I wish more people could sit there, or we could live stream it, which we can't because it's a HIPAA violation. But I wish people could see that these are your neighbors. These mm-hmm. are your grandparents, your parents. I mean, they're just very, very, very sick people who just want to get better. And they are.
Mm-hmm. Let me say, with the HIPAA limitations, would it be, if say you were closed, could we do one from inside the dispensary and maybe talk about some of the different products? Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people can come inside the dispensary. We mm-hmm. can certainly, you know, do a show from inside the store. I mean, this is a podcast. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of media that will come to a store, and we just ask patients, if you're comfortable telling your story, please feel free. Some are, some aren't. Mm-hmm. But I think the more people who become comfortable, and if we can kind of change our society to have people be more comfortable sharing mm-hmm. their story, it's better for everybody. But right now people are scared. They have jobs. Mm-hmm. Maybe their family members don't know, or they don't know how to broach the subject. Sure. So that's something we could dive into another time too, is how do you talk about it? How do you bring it up? Mm-hmm. With
it's
your family
still,
and your friends.
It's still taboo with a lot of people, which is crazy. Now, TrueLeave has 16 locations, you said, in this
15.
Area? 15 locations in this
statewide.
Area. Statewide. And you're going to pass one. If you haven't seen one, you're definitely going to pass one today. If you're not looking, you're going to definitely run into one. Now, Tracy Lee, we're talking about the type of person that's exposed to a medical marijuana card. You must have dozens of success stories. Any of them on the top of your head that you can think of?
The list is unending. And even, you know, like Victoria is saying, you know, if somebody could come in and see the patients that walk mm-hmm. in the door, 9 times out of 10, they walk in and they almost have the look of disbelief on their face because they don't expect a doctor's office to look the way that it does. I mean, Tetra's a very classy location. We've got, you know, top quality medical staff. Our doctors are, I think, you know, far and above the best in the industry with their knowledge and ability to put in a treatment plan that will address a condition. But the same is true for TrueLeave. I know that when we went through and did a tour of some of your locations, it just is, it's so refreshing to see a location that is so clean and pure, and your staff is always on point and knowledgeable and helpful. And it's different than what you expect of, you know, a dispensary coming from California. Mm-hmm. You walk into a doctor's office or a dispensary and it goes along with the stigma, right? The counterculture,
right.
It's just completely different here in Florida. And I think the reason is that the patients that we see do have a true medical need.
Sure.
And like Victoria said, they've got these conditions that are debilitating. And I have had patients come in to where they are in a wheelchair, cannot function. They have a caretaker with them having to fill out the paperwork. And, you know, you see them 6, 8, 10 months later, mm-hmm. and they are actually able to function on their own and just sit and sob and want to hug and tell you how grateful that they are that not only that it's legal here in Florida for them to get this medicine, but that locations like Tetra and like TrueLeave are able to provide them with compassionate, respectful care.
No doubt that Tetra Health Center is over there, 2814 Martin Luther King. I'm going to have to come by and check it out for sure. And when you talk about TrueLeave, when I walked in, stigma-wise, you know, movie-wise, I pictured a bodega. You know, a bodega is something you would see in like Compton, California or something like that.
Yeah.
And you walk in and everything is like pristine and everything's nothing out of place. And everything is clean, like you can eat off the floor.
Right.
And I'm sure your place is exactly the same. It's like cannabis has come a long way.
Yeah.
Okay, it's come a long way to where it's big business. It's not little. It's big business. And how hard was it for you guys who are in the industry when you're watching politics and you know of the lobbyist issue that we have and we all know of it? How hard is it to sit back and not say anything? There's not really much you can do because you can't really fight that type of money. But in the industry, is that something people are talking about all the time?
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure you have the same feeling. You know, it's certainly from a financial standpoint, there's a huge investment for anybody mm-hmm. that's here in business.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard, but that's not why we're here. We're here because there's a true need. And it's more... I think it's a tragedy what they're doing to the patients, you know, and holding them back and keeping them from what can literally change their lives.
Period. And when you talk about the statistics with the opioids, and I still hear people speaking negatively towards cannabis, and it's their prerogative, that's fine. But you want to stop them and say, just give me one little bit of proof. Just give me one little bit of proof and to back why you still think that anybody that indulges in cannabis is the devil. And there's still some people that think that, you know, Reefer Madness was almost a documentary.
Right.
Like some people really thought that was real stuff going on, and they still have that mentality, and that's crazy. Now, TrueLeave has a dispensary in Tallahassee, correct? You guys are in Tallahassee?
We are. That was our first.
Okay. You have anyone closer to that?
To this area?
Yes.
We're in Orlando. We're in the Villages. We're in Gainesville. So, yeah, we've got some up Jacksonville, which isn't necessarily close, but we've got some going up to the Panhandle.
See, like on my bucket list is to really hang out at one for like all day. Just hanging out, just frolicking, just rolling around in it.
I was going to say, you can apply for a job and then you can hang out all day.
Doing what? Doing what?
Being a, you know, a product coordinator, being someone to help patients.
I'm in.
And
just, okay. I'm in. Just to hang out at the dispensary.
Yeah.
You see the movie Half Baked?
I have.
You have seen it?
Yeah.
You remember when Dave Chappelle came up and he asked for the, that would be me right there. You get a couple pounds and just kind of hang out like that. Now, do you watch silly marijuana movies?
You know what? I don't watch television.
You don't watch television?
No. Rarely do I see a movie.
You have 8 kids, right?
Yes.
Okay, I understand.
That's why.
You're lucky you get
a little
busy.
Breathe.
You have 8 kids, 6 boys.
6 boys, 2 girls, 6 grandchildren. Yep.
I have 3 kids and God bless anybody goes to 4, but 8? That's a high number. So throughout, did you indulge in cannabis just to numb yourself a little bit? Because that's a lot of kids.
I didn't, and I was part of the naysayers. You know, prior.
Were you really?
100%.
You know what's funny? I was too.
Yeah.
Like I used to be the guy that people used to sneak around to go smoke weed. Like I didn't think anybody was smoking weed.
Right.
Everybody was smoking weed. They just didn't tell me because I was the guy who didn't smoke weed.
Yeah.
So you were the naysayer as well.
I was. And I, you know, when the term medical marijuana came out, I thought, oh, really? Mm-hmm. You know, is that what you're going to use to be able to get high legally? Until the need arose and I started doing my homework and found that's a thing. It's real. Mm-hmm. And the locations that are in California are just nowhere you'd want to hang out. Just disgusting. And, you know, after sitting in one of those locations trying to get, you know, my ex-husband his card, I thought somebody has to make a change, you know? I was in the high industry or the plastic surgery industry, and it was very high end. Mm-hmm. And I thought somebody's got to marry these two together and make this different than it is. Because if I were the one that was sick, this is the last place on earth I would want to be.
Understandable. Now you guys don't have business in California because the laws themselves are completely different, right? In California
completely
now?
Completely different. We've just gone recreational this year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while there is still a medical need, it's very easy to walk in just with your ID.
Sure. Now, Victoria, we're talking about laws. Okay, laws have been changing. It seems like every week. It seems like a law changes, then they pull it back, and then it's halted. I don't even really know where we are now. So we've taken steps in the last month or so and even the last year. So you can sell buds in a container.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you also, that's what's used in a volcano, I guess, would be used, right?
Correct. In a vaporization device. So smoking is still illegal. It was that wasn't what was voted on in that November election to make it illegal, but that's what the rules were written by our legislative in that legislative session after it was voted into. So it is still illegal. Now, obviously, the John Morgan lawsuit, they won that, but now we're in this big battle of weight and going to the next level of court, which is, you know, I think it's just the Department of Health wanting to make sure that they do it in the right way, which is why you've seen a little bit of a slower progression. There are a ton of rules that we have to follow. So we can and we do offer whole plant. It has to be put into a cup. It has to be pre-measured, pre-packaged, safety packaged. Mm-hmm. And I think even when we are allowed to smoke it, you'll still see similar rules of pre-packaged. I still don't think we're going to go where maybe California is. I still think there's going to be a lot of rules around that. Mm-hmm. But in order for us, let's say it became legal tomorrow, a lot of patients were asking, what are you going to have tomorrow?
Yeah.
And the process, unfortunately, is just not that simple because the Department of Health will still have to give us specific rules and they have some time to develop those. Then what people don't know is when we go to put a new product out in our stores, we have to do a written process to the Department of Health to basically ask for permission to sell that product. And they have a good period of time to review that and respond to us if they want us to make any changes to it or if they're not comfortable with something. And then we obviously have to respond to those changes. So it's just not as simple. But when that lawsuit won, I remember the Facebook messages, the emails about what we were going to have the next day in store.
Yeah,
and
like
it's just not that simple.
The
Even the media. I mean, I think they were calling like, can I come tomorrow and watch?
Yeah.
Like, there's really nothing to see. Unfortunately, nothing's going to change that quickly. So it's just about getting the right information out there. And that's hard to find.
No doubt about that. Now, as things are changing, I'm learning the rules myself. And people ask me questions, and sometimes I don't have the answers. So if I'm driving down the road, and I've rolled up a blunt, and the cop pulls me over, and it smells like weed in my car, and you can't find anything, and I say, well, I have my card. Does that matter at that point?
Not if you're smoking.
Okay. That's good to know.
And a lot of people...
that's the only modality that's prohibited.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in essence... they're making sure that you're getting your stuff legally.
Mm-hmm, right.
There's really no problem with that.
Right.
If you were looking for legal marijuana and we got it, then you shouldn't be bitching and moaning about it. And because if I am driving around allegedly smoking a blunt, I'm still breaking the law.
Correct.
In essence, I may feel safer, but I'm still
going to want to hug the policeman after.
Exactly. So when somebody goes to a Tetra Health Center and talks to one of the fantastic doctors, and my thing was my neck, and I could have brought you 90 different x-rays.
Sure.
There's probably 90 different reasons why I can get my card, but
right.
I use my neck. And they say, okay, you have your neck is straight, it's supposed to be bent, you got this. How do they actually diagnose which product for each individual patient? Is that something they do, or they just say, okay, you have an ailment, now it's okay for you to use medical marijuana, now it's on you, or do they actually push you towards a product?
The doctors will tell you what they've learned about each product, and a lot of it is going to be the comfort level of the patient, and I'm sure Victoria can speak to this as well. The beautiful part about the system, and so far there's not a whole lot of beautiful parts about the system, but is that there are quite a few different options.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, somebody may not be comfortable with vaping because they feel like even though it's legal, something's going to happen to them. So they want to do oral, which is, again, there's quite a few different options that way. They could do topical, and there's quite a few options that way. You know, you've got the patches and the creams and the salves and all these different things. So the doctor will ask the patient what their comfort level is, what they prefer, and talk pros and cons about each one.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm sitting here, and I've been dealing with Trulieve for a while, so I thought I was really versed. So when I had to renew or go back for the card, I'm talking to the doctor, and she's saying, well, how are you sleeping? I said, well, I could sleep better. Well, what are you taking at night? And I said, well, I'm just hitting this. And she goes, well, you need to take this, and instead of this, take this. And I still learn every time I go, I'm learning something.
Right.
Like she said, during the day, are you in any pain? I said, yeah, I'm always in a little bit of pain, nothing I can't deal with. And she says, well, if you take this THC combination hybrid with the CDB, it's really something good for you to exist all day long. And I was like, I didn't really know about that. And then I finally started taking those pills, and those are magical pills.
Yeah, so cannabis is very interesting in terms of the different bioavailabilities in your body. Vaping is awesome because if you need immediate relief, it's great, but it's going to wear off.
Yep.
Capsules now, in our capsules specifically, so we use a FICO extraction. So it's as close to whole plant as you can get in an oil extraction, which is the best thing you can put into your body outside of having the whole plant, because you're capturing the hundreds of cannabinoids that exist in the plant. So many that science hasn't even had the opportunity to study those yet. They're also longer lasting. That's a good thing. It could also be a challenge if you ingest too much of it.
Oh,
then
it could be challenging.
Then you're on the capsule train. So it's in your system, and you're gonna, you know, it's gonna be in there for the next 6 to 8 to 10 hours, depending on your body, how your weight, all of that, your experience with it. But at night, I do think capsules are amazing because they'll keep you asleep, where the inhalation will wear off. And so if you're someone that wakes up frequently, that will get into your system, keep you asleep. Those capsules are also, we were talking about cancer in the beginning, are critical for cancer patients and those tumors, because they need as much of that whole plant as they can possibly get, which again is the challenge to find in Florida. and they need it all the time. There's a lot of studies out there actually about it. They're just kind of buried.
Right.
They're not mainstream. They certainly aren't written into medical journals at this point. But I've seen a couple that are interesting, that the moment that that tumor doesn't have the cannabis attacking it, it can immediately start regrowth. Sure. So it's about attacking it all the time, constantly. And it's really fascinating. But the capsules are definitely for someone like you who needs to manage things throughout the day. Yep. Keep it going. Those are great. Anything ingested orally like that, which is sure. why there's a big fight for edibles and getting those on the shelves, which no are doubt. Legal, but it goes back to that whole rulemaking process. We don't have yeah. those rules, so we can't make them yet.
Absolutely. And the thing is, for me, the THC pills have been beautiful for me at night. Mm-hmm. Like I tell you, I'll take a THC pill right about 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And by 8 o'clock, I'm ready to go night night. Like I'm ready to go night night, and I'm down. Okay, because I yep. get up early in the morning.
Yep.
So otherwise, if I don't do anything, I go to bed at 10 o'clock mm-hmm. or something. I mean, I'm up at 1.
Yeah.
You know, this gives you a nice clean sleep. You wake up in the morning, you're not drowsy.
Yeah.
Like unlike people that drink themselves to sleep.
Yes.
That's not a good sleep.
Mm-mm.
That's a bad sleep. I mean, there's no REM sleep there. You know, I mean, that's more of a pass out. So people that have problems with insomnia, that's definitely, and I have sleep apnea as well.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And so for me, it's a godsend for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm getting my hours in, which is obviously important.
Well, and if you don't sleep, mm-hmm. no matter what you're ailing from, your body's not going to heal itself. So
in,
you need
a lot
to go
of
to sleep.
Different and if, right. Insomnia is bad for everything.
Everything.
Correct. Anxiety, weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's hard to lose weight if you don't sleep.
Yes.
You know, so. Because if I'm up, I'm eating. That's my problem, that's for sure. Now, speaking of eating, my people are Magical Butter. Yeah. I've met with Garen, I think his name is, and Jim Morrison. Can't forget that name. And I've been hanging out with those guys for a while. Went to their headquarters over there in Newport Richey. Interesting people. Did a videotape with Chef, what's his name now? Chef Joey.
Chef Joey
mm-hmm. that we were actually cooking with cannabis, which uh-huh. I thought was interesting because... I mean, it's going off in the airways. I'm thinking, we're in Florida and this is illegal. But then again, listen, I heard the cops know what they're doing there. The cops also know that this cannabis is taking opioids off the street, mm-hmm. which is killing their kids, their grandchildren, their parents, and they're killing everybody out there. Now, Joe Redner, I'm going to bring up Joe Redner again. He doesn't smoke.
Right.
Ever. Like he had lung cancer.
He juices, I believe.
I think he
juices. Or
that's
juices, what he was fighting
for. And he uses the tinctures, I believe.
Yep.
I've not got into that yet. And I love to cook. And so my next step is going to be cooking with the tinctures and getting that in. Is that something that you guys do at all? You cook with the tinctures at all?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. Do you use medical marijuana?
I am a patient. As a patient... Patients can choose to use the oils and the mm-hmm. concentrates however they want
sure.
in their own home. As an employee of a medical marijuana treatment center, we have some rules we have to follow sure. around edibles. But there's definitely a lot of patients out there who have mastered the art of ingesting cannabis in that way, using different products like concentrates or our oral syringes are olive oil based, mm-hmm. like really... cold pressed, organic, amazing olive oil that is obviously food grade.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with coconut oil. So there are patients out there that have incredible success using it in that form.
Absolutely.
We've got actually Chef Joey's at the clinic today.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Demonstrations. And he's phenomenal. And that's the whole goal is to have people understand that even though the state's not ready for edibles, mm-hmm. you can prepare them yourself.
Sure.
And get the same result.
And the people, I know lots of people who make edibles, okay? Because mm-hmm. they've been doing sure. it for a while. And it seems like they're just waiting. Like they're getting their packaging ready. Like I'm serious.
It's true.
They're getting the equations ready, the packaging ready, the whole thing to when it pops off.
Sure.
Then they'll be ready to make money.
Yep.
Because once it pops off and they legalize it, you better not be thinking you're just going to all of a sudden step in the game and make a lot of money.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people that have been waiting for a long time. I talked to Joe Redner and I talked to John Morgan a long time ago. And these guys were talking about medical marijuana 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
And, John Morgan has a great story about medical marijuana. And I've seen what it can do myself. And I find myself watching a lot of documentaries. And if anybody still is kind of on the fence, just go watch some of the documentaries. And the thing is, have you, and this, we're all fans here, we're all opponents, have you seen a negative one?
No.
Other than Reefer Madness? Literally.
There's no.
Nobody's come out with a negative marijuana documentary. And if it was that bad, wouldn't somebody?
Right.
Somebody would.
Well, what's the worst it could be is somebody didn't follow the start low and go slow rule, and they, mm-hmm. you know, way overdid, and they're either going to be really sick mm-hmm. for a few hours, or they're going to fall asleep for a few hours and decide they didn't really get to enjoy what they ate.
That's true. Well, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, when people have a choice between a marijuana and alcohol, if you're against marijuana, I hope you don't drink. I hope you don't drink, because that's, drinking is 100 times dumber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And more dangerous.
Yeah. And it's not about the partying, you know, it's about the medicine.
It is about the medicine, yep. No doubt. But we all understand this, okay? We're all grown people. They'll tell you, you probably should drink one beer an hour. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? Okay. So they're also going to say, if you do smoke marijuana, you should just take this. Blah, blah, blah. I've never lived in that world. But in a world of excess, mm-hmm. okay, in the darkest place, it's not that bad with cannabis. Right. It's really bad with alcohol.
Right. Yeah.
That's how all the stories on Channel 8 and Channel 13 and 10, and that's how they all started, somebody ingesting too much alcohol. Yep. You don't really hear so-and-so smoked too much weed, then went in the street naked. You don't hear those stories. So-and-so smoked too much weed, then he went to sleep,
right.
Then he woke up and ate up a bunch of shit, and then that was it. That's the end of the story.
Right.
The alcohol stories end up with you with a mugshot, and you have to explain it to your family what's going on.
Or liver failure.
Or liver failure.
Death, and, mm-hmm. you know, college kids.
It's
sad.
And then, you know, the whole thing with these college kids. There's so many drugs out there now. Mm-hmm. There's many. You're hearing of pill party. Like, I didn't have that growing up.
I didn't either.
No.
And marijuana's come a long way since I grew up as well. Marijuana used to be like leaves that you put in something. I don't remember. I wasn't smoking back then. But now with these buds and these crystals and everything like that, it's a scientific thing.
Right.
But, like, I have kids that are all their 20s. And, you know, I don't really tell them what to do and what not to do, because it doesn't really help.
Right.
Like, my parents never had an alcohol conversation with me. They never had a drug conversation with me. I don't think it's necessary. We know what's good. We know what's bad. We know what's indifferent. And we also know they're going to try things. But going away to college, what you hope is there's not a party with a bowl full of pills.
Right.
Because that's the worst. That's the worst
Absolutely.
Thing in the world. And once again, we're talking about legal cannabis now, not recreational.
Right.
And it's, in a way, it's still hard to separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's still hard to separate.
Sure.
Because if one person is sitting here hitting a Trulieve vape pen, the other person is hitting a joint and they're passing it back and forth, and it's, in a way, it kind of all blends together. But once again, all for the good.
Right.
And you just don't hear of those terrible, terrible stories. Now, marijuana and its use, and I'm hearing people now that I know for a fact 2 years ago were 100% unequivocally against it. 100%. Now I'm hearing them change all of a sudden. What has happened in the last 6 months? Something's happened in the last 6 months to make a lot of the big time naysayers flip-flop.
Well, I mean, you've got over 40 dispensaries now in the state of Florida. Sounds like a lot. I mean, this is a big state with a mm-hmm. huge population. So, you know, per capita, it's really not that much. But you've got more dispensaries coming on board. You have a lot more media coverage than what used to be covered. You've got primetime shows talking about it. CNN's talking about it. You've got covers of magazines talking about cannabis.
Viceland literally mm-hmm. is
every show.
That is a weed channel.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one show that doesn't really talk about weed.
No.
Not that I listen all day long.
It's starting to become sort of that 6 degrees of separation where somebody knows somebody, mm-hmm. whether it's right. a legal product or they've used it in another state. Somebody knows somebody. And you've got the country, you know, some states going recreational too. So now you can go to Vegas mm-hmm. and everybody can try it. And you can go to California and you can go, I think, it's Massachusetts recreational. You got East Coast states.
Right. Isn't Portland too, I think? Portland?
Yep, Portland. The state of Maine's going recreational. Yeah, so you've got these destinations now that people go to regularly on vacation anyway.
Yeah.
And it's become Canada. I mean, you've got big movements in it where people are talking about it. And then you've got a lot of frustration in the current healthcare system of people, like you said, the opioid crisis. I mean, it's not even affecting people that have real prescriptions for it. It's affecting people that don't.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So it's a combination of things. But, and then you've got news travels faster, right? We've got social media. We've got Snapchat. We have all these things that information can be tweeted out in a matter of minutes versus waiting 3 weeks for a story to be picked up from another state.
Mm-hmm.
So our ability to communicate as a country has rapidly increased. And as we're legalizing it throughout the United States, nothing bad's happening. So I think people are seeing the sky isn't falling.
Absolutely.
Canada's sky isn't falling.
Yeah.
You know, still nobody's dying.
Right. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm being Canadian born. It's always been, people have been very liberal there towards it. And open-minded, and I just knew that that was the way the way it was going, and it seems like we're all heading that way in Canada. They're like, everybody, take care of your business. Nobody's being hurt. You know, let's go that route. You know, we are seeing some of the fringe states. I got a bad feeling Florida will be one of the last. I just got that bad feeling
for recreational.
Yeah,
or
I just find like Florida, we have some old fighters.
We do. It's really, I don't know if they'll be last because we've already gotten this far with medical. Mm-hmm. You have states who won't even consider the medical at this point.
How many states don't have medical?
At least half.
Really? Still?
There's 29 that
don't. Wow. That's crazy.
It's a lot.
That's a big, like, does Iowa have medical? I can't picture that.
I don't know. I'm not looking at a map.
Yeah.
I don't think that they do. And a lot of it's Midwest, southern states. So there's a very clear, when you kind of look at a map where it's colored in of who's recreational, who's medical, who has nothing yet. So I don't know if Florida will be last. I mean, you have a big movement here for that. But of course, it all goes back to political, you know, who's in power and the voice of the people. I don't think the people realize how much power they have when they speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, you have to be personally affected by something to get you off the couch to go out and join the movement for it. So until everybody has been personally affected by some condition that has been improved by cannabis, but it's very grassroots.
It's going to happen soon if it hasn't already. And I didn't think I'd ever hear Donald Trump speak on the behalf of cannabis, but he did the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Oh. I was going to say, what did he say? I missed it.
I think he said something along the grounds that it's time we should start looking into this.
Right. Which is something.
Mm-hmm. And I heard like Jerry Jones, the NFL owner, he said it. God bless. Let's go.
Right.
Like they were going to suspend Ezekiel Elliott for walking in a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Come on. Right. It's to a point now where there's people in jail that were selling marijuana. Let them out of jail all over the country. Let them all out right now. Okay. Right. Once again, I understand that at the time it was against the law. It was just an old fuddy-duddy rule that needs to be lifted.
Right.
Unfortunately, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not. I don't have enough money as a lobbyist have. I don't have any money. So I can't really change the ways. I can't really go head to head. And voices are great, but when voices run into money, they get silent.
Well, I think you spoke to the truth, though, Victoria, when you said, you know, sometimes it comes down to a personal experience. And I know that I met with several legislative people, whether it was a senator or a House representative, and there were three incredibly powerful stories, one of which, I won't mention any names, just I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but his father had been very ill, and he and I had an appointment, and his father had just been sent home for hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was 30 minutes late and walked in and said, you know, I wasn't going to show up, but, you know, I try and be respectful of people's time. And so here I am. What do you do?
Well,
so I explained to him what we do, and my story resonated with him because that's what he's experienced with his father. But yet his father is much farther down the road than, you know, the father of my children was. Mm-hmm. And he sat there for 45 minutes just in tears. And he said, how do I get my father product today? And
question.
I said, well,
unfortunately, you can't.
This is what you voted for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we did arrange a home visit. And my doctor went and saw him. And because of who he was, things were sped up. But, you know, his father died a week later. And he said, I had no idea what I voted for. And, you know, it goosebumps and it brings tears to my eyes because that's a life lost because of ignorance and the unwillingness to actually educate yourself on what this can do. And he lost his father and he probably would have lost his father at one point anyway. Mm-hmm. We all die. But yet could he have had an extra year
his
or
quality
two
of life
dad?
Would have been substantially better.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah.
And that's the part that irks me is the quality of life thing. That you're gonna tell somebody they can't improve the quality of their life by ingesting a plant. That's just, it doesn't seem ethical or doesn't seem like you have any education thinking that way. I've hung out with Pam Bondi a couple of times. I actually like Pam Bondi as a person. And I heard her speaking in her politics and I'm like, whoa. Then I looked and there's this money going at it.
Yep, 100%.
There's money going at it.
Yep.
So, and I've said this before, if you say, hey, Ian, I want you to tell people that hamburgers aren't good. Here's $1 million.
Sometimes they aren't.
That's true.
I love hamburgers. It's hard to get a bad burger. But if you gave me $1 million, I'll try to convince you that hamburgers aren't good.
Sure.
Right. And that's all they're doing. Yep. That's all they're doing is like $1 million. Everybody has a number.
Yeah.
I have a number. It's not even a million anymore.
Right.
It's a lot lower than a million. Yeah. And we could all be bought, that's for sure. So for people out there that are still curious about their card, now I would say first and foremost, what you want to do is go to Tetra Health Center.
Correct.
First and foremost. On Martin Luther King, 2814. You have a phone number for where they can call?
855-440-5500. We're directly across the street from St. Joseph's Hospital.
Perfect. And if somebody calls in, how long normally does it take to get an appointment?
You know, the thing with schedules is everybody's always got to change. So although we're booked out about 2 weeks, there's always somebody that had to reschedule for babysitter or whatever, so we can get them in pretty quickly.
Yeah. So that's 2 weeks is not that bad.
No.
2 weeks, and then when I got my card, after the appointment, they were talking about months, and it took me months.
Yes. Wow.
I messed up a couple of times, but it took me months. Now the waiting period is substantially less, correct?
Substantially. I think the longest wait we've seen in our patients is 11 months. And now we've seen it as quickly as 2 weeks, but we never want to promise that. But anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, you should see an email.
Awesome.
The process has gotten so much better that as soon as you leave the doctor's office, they'll put you into the state database and you get an email. And you sign into what is the state database. And it literally now takes 5 minutes because all the information's there that your physician put in. So you just need to make sure it's accurate to your driver's license, or you don't have to have a driver's license. You can have a utility bill, some sort of proof of residency or part-time residency because snowbirds can qualify.
Sure.
You have to, if you have a driver's license, it actually pulls over from the DMV. So you don't even have to worry about uploading a photograph or anything.
Really?
It's all automated. And now you can even pay with a credit card or a debit card online, which I'm sure you had to cut checks and they lost those.
That's true. That's true.
It took me, I went through it with the newer process and it took me 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So even if it's an older person who doesn't like computers that much, you know, they can find somebody to help. It really has gotten so much better. So we're just fighting for it to keep getting better.
Right. And the process of, like I said, getting your approval or your certification is dramatically from 11 months down to as fast as 2 weeks.
No, not I went through the rigmarole, the whole thing from way back when. So you want to definitely check out Tetra Health Centers for their doctors, put you in the right direction. And then they're going to tell you to go to the dispensary, which will be Trulieve, 15 locations in Florida. Mm-hmm. How do people get in contact with Trulieve? Just Google it or...
We have a website, trulieve.com. They can visit any one of our stores, which all of our locations are online, or they can call us 844-878-5438 is our call center. We have a ton of people there waiting to answer the phone, answer questions, and help you in the right direction.
And trulieve.com. Mm-hmm. And we also have tetrahealthcenter.com.
Yep.
And centers.com. And we'll see a little bit more about what you ladies do. And we'll get people on those websites and get people heading in the right direction, because that's people just need is direction now.
Yeah.
Because people just seem like they're in limbo and they don't know where to, what to do, and they don't know what's offered to them. And that's really what this podcast is all about, letting people know what's happening out there right in our community and how it's helping out people in our community. And we have some wonderful companies. You want to do it the right way if you're going to do it. And be with companies that have been around a while, because it's kind of a rotating door. People are coming and going pretty quick now, it seems like. Like you hear the company opens and then they're gone. You know what I mean? So you want to do it with the right people. And these are companies that are going to be around for a long time. So we hope everybody enjoyed it. Ladies, thank you, first of all.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so hopefully we can do this every week. But we don't know if you guys will be able to make it every week, but we're definitely going to have a representative every week speaking on behalf, that's for sure. I'm going to touch base with Joe Redner and a couple of other very colorful people to sit down and talk about medical cannabis and legal medical cannabis with you people. So thank you for tuning in. This has been the Cannabis Podcast. We're coming here every week, every Wednesday. We're trying to educate you people. And you can hit me up everywhere on social media at Ian Beckles. And you can email me any questions you have, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Appreciate you listening in. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
For more information on medical cannabis, make sure to visit Trulieve on Twitter at Trulieve or Trulieve.com. That's TRULIEVE.com. Also, make sure to follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles. This has been the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.